Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I've long held the belief that the best part about this job is the interaction with the listeners. This is such a beautiful place to live. So many beautiful people in the Bay Area. Let's check in with some of them. From the 510, Joe, you sound like Lunch Lady Agnes.
It's Lunch Lady Doris.
Nice.
If you're going to take a shot at my boy, get it right, texters. Get buttoned up.
Wow. I love
Let
this
him
one.
Have him, Dibs. Leave him alone.
I'll run material for you, Joe, if you need it. I'll crush people at full volume.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's and now boy. A nosebleed. Anyone see this?
Yeah.
Now we got the nosebleed because I'm changing air temperatures. This is just something else today. Do I leave? What do I do?
No. We go Facebook Live with it. Are you kidding me?
No, I think
your
I
boy's
think
going.
Yeah, Anna, can you get a camera, please, and no. Facebook Live this nosebleed? Production stares at me like I'm crazy.
We may have to go to the bullpen. This is amazing.
Roll out. We'll honestly. But anyway,
seriously, what do I do? I'm bleeding all over myself.
Yeah, this is I'm telling you, we got to
get into that Houston San Antonio game.
No,
we got to go Twitter Live, Facebook Live, all of it. We got to have this on multi platforms.
No, when this weekend, when I watch San Antonio and you look at Houston, when those two teams meant to get it together, you would think that since you saw the way that San Antonio would start to impose their will, winning those two games on the road, and everyone's thinking, oh my God, look at this. You know, my man goes down, Tony Parker goes down, no problem. They still were able to motorboat him. And then last night, you know, coming back home, you would think that it was going to be a different outcome. You would think that Kawhi Leonard and Aldridge, who's starting to play a lot better, would pick up the game. And you see him down to 16. They held their two big players to 16 points, Dibs. I was just shocked that the Houston Rockets team that's not known for its great defense, Beverly, great defense, but the other guys, not necessarily great defense, but to hold those two to 16 points apiece, that was pretty impressive by the Rockets.
You got to remember, though, the nature of these playoff series when you have the road team, in this case San Antonio, regain home court advantage by winning game three.
Right.
It's difficult for the road team to go out, no matter how big of an advantage it is. Take the Toronto-Cleveland series aside, because Cleveland's so much better that it's not a big task to win both games on the road. But San Antonio, you win game three, you've got the upper hand knowing that you've got home court back. It's tough to then get motivated again to take game four on the road at Houston, especially the way Houston plays. I thought the Rockets yesterday, offensively, so efficient.
Yeah.
The tempo was too much for San Antonio, and when that game gets into that pace, the Spurs are going to have a hard time winning.
Especially with the three ball. Once, you know, and you saw Harden a couple times. He had LaMarcus Aldridge just pulled him out from underneath the hoop, and he gave him a couple jab steps. And Aldridge was trying to fall back, like, okay, I'm not going to let him drive. Instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to take a side and give you a side and give and let him go ahead and penetrate, because he's got the trees there, he's got Gasol there, and that's what you want. When you're playing against a guy that's prolific of a shooter on the perimeter, especially when he pulls out a big man, because you can't get your hands up, hand down, man down. So you want him
Thank you, Mark.
Exactly. So give him that angle for go to the hole where more of the trees, where Gasol and those guys are able to alter the shot. That's what I thought that San Antonio didn't do as well last night, Joe, and they let him just stay on the perimeter, and then that's when he was deadly with the three ball.
Great work, boys. I appreciate that. Blood all over myself.
Look like George Clooney, man. Clooney's bleeding. He's bleeding.
Jeez. Can I please take a picture?
Yeah. Okay, I mean, good. We'll get this.
Why is it got to be George Clooney?
Yeah, you got
to. Why is it got to be George Clooney? Playing the race card over there.
Why can't I be Joe Frazier?
Yes.
Joe Frazier from Philadelphia.
You ain't no Clooney because you're just bleeding all over. You're like, oh.
It's racism is what that is right there.
At its finest.
The story of Patrick Beverley, huge game last night. Huge game for the Rockets as they even the series 2-2, heading back to San Antonio for game five. Beverley takes a pregame nap, customary before every game. He wakes up, he finds out his grandfather has passed away. Do you tell him in that situation? Do you remember a couple years ago, 2015 World Series, Edson Volquez was going to pitch game one for the Royals? He pitched a hell of a game, but his father had died earlier that day. And when the Royals found out, manager Ned Yost was talking to the family, and he said, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to tell Edinson, or do you want us to not tell him? They said, we want him to pitch this game. Please do not tell him. That became a big thing. Sports talk radio, TV, everywhere. People weighing in whether or not you owe it to him to tell him, whether or not you keep it from him and listen to the family's wishes. What would you want in that situation, Lo, if you had to deal with such a thing?
Whoa, that's heavy. You know what?
Hey, I'm not just nosebleeds and a scratchy voice. Yeah. I got big questions today, and they all need answers.
Well, I had my 2007, my sister Denise, it's my Glenda, my oldest sister, my brother, and then it's me and then Denise. In 2007, the year we were pretty good in San Diego, yeah. Joe, we went on a run, and we thought we were in a Super Bowl, and anyway, we lose. I drive home, you know, it's a six-hour drive. I just wanted to get home and drive my car. I didn't want to fly. I wanted to drive and drive back to Fresno. So I stop in Lemoore, 30 miles from Fresno, and I go to the house. My mom and dad sitting there and his family, and they're like, hey, we want to talk to you. And they told me that my sister had breast cancer. So then I was like, "What? Why didn't you guys tell me? Why didn't you guys tell me?" They said, hey, we didn't want to tell you. It was the playoffs. Things were going on. And, you know, at the time I was a little disappointed because I would have, you know, I would have maybe altered things, the meaning that I would have brought her out more. I could, you know, brought her to more games because unfortunately she didn't get to see the next season. So I would have did more for her. So in a situation like that, I would have liked to know earlier than later. Situation where it's that day I'm playing a game and I took a nap and after maybe that situation, I'd probably want to know maybe afterwards.
Thank you for sharing that. I know that's not easy. I know that's not easy. So you would have rather had known about that in advance so that you could have made different preparations, gone about things differently.
Yeah, just to love on her more, fly her out to more games, be with her more, have her come stay for a week and just spoil her, do the things that you want to do and give her everything that she wanted. So that one I was a little disappointed, but they were like, hey, you're focused. We didn't want to, you know, add any extra pressure on you. And I can understand their point, but in that situation when it's a sister and you know it's terminal and you know you're probably not going to be able to get to the next season, I would have rather known before.
I think that there's no easy way to answer that question. Whether or not you tell Beverly, whether or not you tell Volquez, the only thing you can do is try to come from a position of love. And that's what his family was doing in game one of the World Series. They just thought, let him pitch the game and then we'll tell him. No one was trying to deceive anybody. No one had any poor intentions coming from their heart. They were just trying to do what was right, Dibs. So for Beverly to hear that, he goes out, he pays homage to the grandfather who rose him and several other of his cousins, played a huge role in his life. He goes out and has a big one last night. It's a nice performance. Those are always nice storylines to see guys playing big in those spots.
It's incredible. And, you know, you think about these athletes as just that, as athletes. You know, we only see them when they're on the court doing what they do, but they're real people, obviously. And, Lo, and thank you for sharing that. That was an incredible story. Very personal reveal, and I appreciate that. And you see these guys, and you see what happened to Isaiah Thomas and Patrick Beverly and Brandon Crawford of the Giants. Real world things hit everybody, and it's unexpected. You never know what's going to happen, and I think each family has to decide what they think is going to be best for that person. And I'm sure your family agonized, Lo, trying to decide.
I'm sure,
you know, exactly how best to do it. You know, for myself, if I had something like that, a big performance or whatever, I would want to have the performance out of the way and then find out after. I think myself, but the case you make, Lo. The point you make is an incredible one.
Yeah. Runs per game, ERA, bullpen ERA, run differential, winning percentage. Of those five categories, the Giants rank last in the National League in four of them. Which one don't they rank last in? Coming up next, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Beverage, and I work here 5 days a week.
Good morning, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. If you're just joining us, I was
That's
in Vegas
BS.
This weekend.
That's BS right there.
What happened?
The producer comes in and, Kalena's headphones are plugged in and nice and orderly, and Kalena gets a beverage from our producer. Memo to the producer, like we're here 5 days a week, sucka.
I like
How about
that.
You start taking care of us?
I really enjoy this.
In his defense, at around 6:15, when my nose just randomly started bleeding, he came running in with paper towels. I'll give him that. You can take the rest of the day off, Cody. Thank you.
I laughed. Isn't that worth something?
Well, yeah.
I posted pictures.
Yeah.
I had your back, Joe. I was real, now you got to admit, the brother had your back, like, Joe, I got you. Dibs is laughing. You're like, you guys want to talk about the game? He's like, yeah, this is pretty neat.
It's pretty
your
funny.
Your boy came to, yeah.
I imagine you'll want to cash that favor in later.
Is
that how that's going to play out?
That's the way it always plays out.
So Joe, remember,
why do you always go right there, though? Okay, yes, I will cash it in. Yes, okay?
Look at me, coach. Look at me.
Gosh.
What am I going to be everyone's friend today? I came in. I kept it together in Vegas. I got home early. I hydrated. I come in. I sound like a dead frog, according to a guy. My nose is bleeding everywhere. What am I supposed to do?
It's bad mess. So you had a bad day.
Thank God Kalena's coming in.
So you had a bad day.
Okay. Jay Cutler. I missed this on Friday. You guys got a chance to talk about this for a little bit. Jay Cutler has decided he's done with the NFL. He's moving to Fox. He's going to be taking the John Lynch spot that was vacated when Lynch came to the 49ers. So he's on team number two. What's interesting about this is when Cutler came into the league with the Denver Broncos, he played with Lynch for two seasons. Cutler was with the Broncos in 06, 07, and 08 before being traded to the Bears. Lynch, final 4 years of his career, 04, 05, 06, 07. So they were teammates for 2 years. Then Lynch jumps to San Francisco as the general manager, has a hell of a draft. Cutler now jumping into the broadcast booth to take Lynch's spot. He's with Fox. Tony Romo has jumped to CBS, and now we're left to wonder whether or not something's going to happen with Colin Kaepernick, because all these guys perceived to have plenty left in the tank, have had success before, interesting resumes, two jump to the booth. What do you think next for Kaplo?
Yeah, I think the two, maybe what's next for Cutler after the booth, he and Tony, maybe GMs. Now you see Cutler going to GM next to that. I think that really Colin Kaepernick now is have to be evaluating and looking at it and saying, okay, am I going to play in the National Football League? It's crazy because you can go from a starter from the in the house to the outhouse in overnight. And both these two gentlemen started on their respective teams last year, and now Colin's out and still looking for a job. And you think about all the quarterbacks that has been picking up as backups, and Colin and Jay, neither one of them got a job. This is now a situation where Colin's really looking at himself in the mirror, talking to his agent, and now this is the time to me, in my opinion, I think that he should pick up the phone and call the ESPN. If you look at ESPN, the way their network is going, all the firings they did, how liberal the station has become, all the different things that they're doing, I think that now it may behoove Colin Kaepernick to look to say, hey, look, maybe I'm going to have to be that third quarterback that have to leave the field and go into a booth. And I think that's what I think may end up happening for Colin Kaepernick.
Do you think ESPN would be interested in that? The political alignment is certainly in check, but do you think even they would want to go that far with it? Because that would ruffle a lot of feathers. But again, in the media game, sometimes that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Joe. I mean, think about this. A couple of weeks, not even a week ago, we were talking about what was going on in Boston, talking about the fans, what happened against the Oreo young man that's played Adam Jones with Oreo. You heard all the different things that was going on, and people were outraged. They were disappointed. They were disgusted with it. And it was only a group of people. It wasn't a whole lot of people. It wasn't everyone. And so does this now kind of make Colin Kaepernick, do you look at it and say, okay, that's not the masses, but it is some. When Colin, his position, that's not all police, but it's some. So when you look at it and you balance these things up, is there still racism? Isn't it prevalent? Is it sticking its head up even more? Is so many things going on in the world we live in and why? Don't know, but it is happening. Does this kind of give Colin some leeway to say, look, here is a professional athlete on a field in a game in their arena, and people are using those racially slurs? Could be officer, could be a father. It's a father. It's an officer. It's a doctor. We don't know who this guy is, but doesn't that show that there is some type of still racism going on? So does it lend any gravity to Colin Kaepernick? Who knows?
Do you think Colin even wants to play football? And what I mean by that is this. A few weeks ago, he helped donate 100 men's suits to, I don't know the exact location, but for people who were looking to get jobs. I think it was individuals who were coming out of incarceration just so they could look better and present better at these job interviews. Not only did he do that, he's had a symposium recently that a couple writers attended that said was fantastic. Peter King writes in Monday Morning Quarterback this morning that some believe Kaepernick might want to do more social justice work to the point where he'd rather do that than play football. Do you think there's a very real possibility that in his mind he's thinking, I don't even want to go back to the NFL. I got bigger things to handle with my life.
No, I think the reason why no, Joe, I think that this young man understands he believes that he has a lot of earning power. And I think that when he's done with football, I think that he started something. And we said months ago that now he can't turn back. He's involved in this. He's tied his name to it. He's one of the most visible athletes because of his stance and his position, good, bad, or indifferent. So I think that now he still feels that he has bargaining powers, earning power. So I think eventually he would want to go to that. But now you see this guy, what he said, he goes, he will stand. We'll do other things. So I really believe that he still wants to play in the National Football League. Just now it comes down to pride and how much, and will you let that bitter taste get out of your mouth? And that's what happens to Cutler and a lot of these other players. They're like, forget it. I got enough money. I'm pissed off because my phone didn't ring. I'll go do something else.
Speaking of Cutler, he made $73 million over the last 5 years. Just 5 years, not his whole career. He's made $73 million. 11 years in the NFL, one playoff victory, one. Dibs, how do you think Jay Cutler will do in the booth?
I think he'll do okay. I think Tony Romo is going to do great. Jay Cutler is going to be all right. It just depends on whether or not he goes full in on Surly Jay or if he tries to be smiling former quarterback Jay, because he's a pretty surly guy, you know, and that's, I think, his true personality. So he's either going to have to be somebody he's not and be upbeat and really be into the game, or he's going to have to go 100% full in and just rip everything and be negative and be a bitter guy. I wonder if he has the self-confidence, for lack of a better way to describe it, to go full in and just be a guy who's edgy. Otherwise, I can't see him being very good.
The latter of the two, you're right, Dibs. He's going to have to be the guy that the first one you said, full in and edgy. No, he can't. You know why? Because Joe just alluded to 11 years, one playoff.
No credibility.
No credibility. So it's going to be
really?
It's going to be interesting for him early. Like, even with Trent, look at Trent Dilfer, a guy who's pretty phenomenal on TV and radio, who has a lot of hot takes. He's always been that way. He's always been boisterous, no matter win, lose, or draw. That's his persona. You're going to ask Jay Cutler. You see Jay's always buttoned up. He's very short answers. He's never really quirky or really doesn't have that personality. Now he's going to have to really turn the corner to do that. I think it's going to be a lot, like Dib's saying, it would have to be so fake and so made up, because I don't really believe that's him. Tony Romo has it. He has some quirkiness, some wittiness. This guy can get after it. He can speak well. I'm not saying that Jay can't. I just don't think that's him.
I think he's going to be better than Romo. And here's the main reason. Cutler, yes, the negative perception. And he's going to need to clean that up. But the one thing Cutler's always done is be honest and have strong opinions. That's why people don't like him. In this world of the media, he needs strong opinions. He's a smart enough quarterback where he'll be able to break the game down on TV. I'm not worried about that. I think Romo can do that too. They know enough about it that you just need to jump in 10 to 12 seconds, give some insight. But I think Cutler, once you see him come out and he has the strong opinions, doesn't matter if they're negative or positive. I mean, look at what Stephen A. Smith is able to accomplish. Look at what Skip Bayless is able to accomplish. If he just has strong opinions, he's going to have a lot of success, because he's going to be polarizing. People are either going to hate him or they're really going to like him. But regardless, they're going to watch and they're going to listen. Romo's biggest problem, I think, is going to be the lack of strong opinions. He doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to be critical when it needs to be. He doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to come up with something completely original to give you some take on something. He's going to break the game down and he's going to be a nice guy. And I think on the number one broadcast team, that's going to be an issue. Whereas for Cutler on the number two team, he's going to catch people off guard, maybe surprise them a little bit.
I don't see it that way. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think that Cutler strikes me as a guy who will lose interest in doing it and he won't have the same passion for it. I think that's one reason why Trent Dilfer has lasted as long as he has, is he's good at it, but he also has this enthusiasm for it. When you tune in one of these pregame shows or even the game itself, you want to hear a commentator who has some passion and some real genuine interest for doing it. And ultimately, I think that's one thing that would hurt Colin Kaepernick in doing it, because Colin has all these other influences and all these other interests that I don't think that he would bring the passion to that job, Lo, if he was to go to an ESPN.
Yeah, you're right about Cutler. Just his whole persona is just different. And you look at him, so you think, I don't know about Cutler. I just don't see it coming out of him. But he could shock me. And Tony Romo, I know that he'll have it. He's just got it. He's witty. Been around him long enough. I'm going to tell you a guy you guys don't give enough credit who's friggin' smart. People don't really know that he's got a different side because I've been around him and had conversation pretty witty. Colin's pretty funny dude. He can be funny. He can be witty, intelligent, can talk about the game. I think that you look at it and you look at the different booths that are around. You talk about different things, Joe, which is affirmative action. You're talking about men of color. Here's a quarterback that's articulate, can be on there. This is a guy that I think that they're going to need to bring a guy like a Colin in. And I think that even though in spite of all this stuff, I think he'll be a guy to get an opportunity.
Do you think maybe it would be better that if he was going to make the move to TV, that Colin Kaepernick become more of an in-studio analyst rather than a guy on the broadcast? Not every player needs to go into the booth. Maybe he becomes a guy on TV with more opinions. You saw Trent Dilfer doing that.
Sure.
Randy Moss is doing that.
Right.
Hasselbeck is doing that. He could do something like that. I think that might fit his persona a little bit more. You can give him a wide range of topics to get involved in, maybe rather than just football.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that he could do either or, but you're right. Maybe being a guy behind the scenes could be if his liking.
Here's who won't be starting at quarterback in the NFL this season. Jay Cutler, Tony Romo, Colin Kaepernick, Robert Griffin III. Here's who will be starting at quarterback in the NFL this season. Josh McCown, Brian Hoyer, Mike Glennon. Process that. Process that for a moment. Cutler, Romo, Cap, RG3 out. McCown, Brian Hoyer, and Mike Glennon all with jobs, Dibs.
It seems surprising, but you can go through case by case, and you can see why. Robert Griffin III is broken. He's had multiple ACL surgeries. Tony Romo is broken. Jay Cutler is tired. And Colin Kaepernick, that's a curious one. And we all know that he has his own issues.
We get a full hour of Warriors coverage coming up. Kalena Azubuike is going to join us in the studio. I'm going to try not to bleed on myself. I can't promise my voice will get any better, but I am back from Vegas. Maybe I'll tell the Dave Chappelle story at some point throughout the program. But we've also got tons of tickets to give away. 7 hour, 8 hour, 9 hour. In the 8 hour, we're actually giving away tickets twice. Stick with us. We're back in a minute. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning and happy Monday. Let's get the obvious out of the way. I sound like garbage. I was in Vegas over the weekend. Everybody have a good laugh over it, and now we can all move forward.
I can't stop laughing over it.
I know.
It's great.
For those of you who are just joining us, my voice will be very flat today. I can't get too excited. So today's the day to come with your hot takes, boys, because I can't do anything about it. Usually my emotion is what I thrive upon. I have no emotion today.
You're defenseless.
At 6:15 this morning, I bled all over myself for some reason. And now we begin the slow countdown towards the post-show meeting, which inevitably will not go my way. Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. The great Kalena Azubuike in studio with us for the next hour. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You got it in Vegas, huh? I can hear it.
You know, sadly, I wish I had a lot. When you sound and look like this, you should have far better stories. I don't. I had some pizza. I played craps. Saw Chappelle.
There you go.
Get into that in a bit. Sat near Whitlock. But other than that, it was a regular trip. Came back yesterday morning. Thought I had taken care of myself. So what we're going to do is we're going to shut me down, which is probably going to be something the Bay Area is very excited about. But we got a full hour of Warrior coverage coming up, and we got a lot of tickets to give away throughout the next hour and onwards for the rest of the show. But for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
Well, Monday could be broom day for the Golden State Warriors as they look to sweep the Utah Jazz tonight. Game 4, best of 7, Western Conference semifinal series. Steve Kerr, not with the team. He underwent surgery at Duke to alleviate extreme pain from that previous back procedure. Kevin Durant, talking about Game 3, said the second half was a great performance.
Defensively, that's what you guys should be talking about. 41 points in the second half. We ain't have no turnovers either. That's the story of the game.
The story of the game tonight could be the same. Tip times at 6. Our coverage begins at 4:30 with Warriors warm-up right here on 95.7 The Game. Cavs remain perfect in the postseason. They sweep Toronto. Celtics and Wizards now even at 2 games apiece, as are the Rockets and Spurs after Houston comfortably won in Game 4. Story number 2, the Oakland A's getting it done in walk-off fashion for the second straight night.
The kick, it's on the way, and it's swung on a high fly ball left field. Upton going back at the track. He's right to the wall, turning. He will watch. Gone, and the A's have won it.
8-6, the final. Ryan Healy, the homer. Yonder Alonso hit his ninth home run of the victory. He also homered twice on Saturday. Kendall Graveman gets the start tonight against the Angels. The game can be heard on our sister station, KFOX 98.5. Story number three, a forgettable series for the Giants in Cincinnati. They get swept away 4-0 in the finale. Panic, Pence, Arroyo, and Gorky's Hernandez. Look at Gorky's. Each with one hit apiece. The update brought to you by Bay Alarm. With Bay Alarm, you're protected 24/7 by the local security experts. Go to bayalarm.com to schedule your free security review today. Bay Alarm, what have you got to lose? I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors tonight. It starts at 4:30 on 95.7 The Game.
That's your highlight from what happened in Cincinnati?
Look at you, Gorky's.
Three guys each had a hit.
Four guys, Joe, including my man, almost batting 200 now, Gorky's Hernandez.
Four guys, a hit apiece.
You can't spell Gorky's without Gork, by the way. That's just a fact, Helena. That's what I do. It facts.
102-91 was your final Saturday night. Game four tonight, as Dibs mentioned. We're going to have it right here on 95.7 The Game starting at 6 p.m. Kalena Azubuki in studio with Joe Lowe and Dibs. How difficult is it going to be for the Jazz to get up for game four? Usually in series like this, if you're down 2-0, game three is that pivotal swing game. You try to get the momentum back on the tracks. We saw the Wizards do it against the Celtics. But now you're down 3-0, and that was one of the best games you played all series. Right. Emotionally, where are the Jazz at?
They got to be a little discouraged. They're trying really hard to be positive. I was listening to Rudy Gobert and Gordon Hayward in their post-game interview after the game, and they're just trying so hard to not be discouraged and say, hey, we did some good things. We played well. The starters did play well, and they do need to get more off their bench. They need Joe Johnson to play better off their bench. But it's so discouraging because, first of all, Steph and Clay didn't shoot the ball well. Defensively, the Jazz were much better, like I thought they were going to be, especially in that first half. And offensively, again, the starters played really well. If you're making some adjustments for them, I would take Gobert out of the game, like in that fourth quarter. Because the story of the game, like KD said, along with the Warriors' defense in the second half and the fact that they didn't turn the ball over, which was wonderful, was KD and his ability to expose Rudy Gobert in pick and roll and expose them in the post. He was just shooting over people whenever he wanted to. Sometimes they switched people onto him. It didn't matter who was on him. It was Joe Ingles got it a couple times. Gordon Hayward got it in the post a couple times. He would get into the body of the defender, just kind of fade away, just shoot over the top of people whenever he wanted to at will. And then the pick and roll, they were basically saying, whoever Gobert is guarding, run up there and set the ball screen and let KD do what he does. And KD got to the basket. He stepped back on him. He knocked a three down over him. Like, Rudy Gobert just didn't know what to do. First of all, he can't really move his feet that great. And at times, he thought he was close enough to the ball screen. He figured, okay, I could gap him a little bit and use my length and still contest the shot. Well, KD is 6'13", and he's fast. He doesn't like to be called a 7-footer. And he's fast, and he can shoot the three ball, and he can step back, shoot the mid-range, and he can get to the basket. So the guy really has no offensive weakness. So against a guy like Rudy Gobert, who's a little slower-footed, yeah, he is tall, he can use his length, but he's slow-footed. And the Warriors realized that. Mike Brown gave Steve Kerr the appropriate credit. He's like, yeah, he did talk about this before the series, pick and roll with KD and trying to get Gobert in there. And they did a great job of it. So if I'm the Jazz, especially late in the game in the fourth quarter when they're just going to it back to back to back to back. Yeah, Gobert played extremely well, but at that point he's hurting you more than he's helping you. You got to take him out of the game. They had Joe Johnson in there. They had Rudy Gobert. They had Rodney Hood in there. They had Gordon Hayward and Shelvin Mack. I'd take Rudy Gobert out and maybe put in Joe Ingles or Boris Diaw probably wouldn't guard the pick and roll great either.
And that's the thing, though, Kalena, is you get into
it's like, I can't come up with
exactly,
anything.
Yeah.
We're screwed.
Defensively,
right.
They've got nothing because Joe Ingles can't guard anybody really at that point.
Well,
and,
yeah.
You know, Boris Diaw is, you know, 39 years old. He's not going to be able to stick with KD on the perimeter.
Right. And I'd probably put Joe Johnson on KD maybe. Mm. Or no, I'd put Joe Johnson on Draymond Green. Then maybe put Gordon Hayward. But you're right. They don't have answers.
It's a wrap.
Because the Warriors are so good offensively. They're so versatile. And then you got to think for the Utah Jazz that Steph and Clay are probably going to shoot the ball better next game. They're not both going to struggle. And that's another dimension the Warriors have. the Splash Brothers aren't going, KD's just like, I got you.
I got you. Right.
I'm going to take over. Right. And that was the story of the game.
We're looking at a situation here where we knew this coming in. Utah, 30th in the NBA in pace. They love to slow it down.
Right.
All these games are playing out the way they would want. Lower scoring games. This is the first time all postseason the Warriors have been held to fewer than 106 points. Utah's kept them in check to an extent offensively, and they're still losing by double digits in every game. That's There's just nothing left for them.
Right. That's why it's so discouraging. And then they're slowing the pace down. It was their pace for most of the game. And the Warriors didn't get their normal assist total, but they weren't making as many shots, like Draymond said. So the assists would have been up if Steph and Klay made some of the open shots they got. The Warriors got some definitely makeable shots. And I thought the Utah Jazz would be better defensively at home, which they were. They were feeding off the crowd there. There was some momentum shifters there, good plays on defense. But all in all, when it's time to take over the game and win, when it's winning time, you got to take the Warriors in that situation. Yeah. And KD closed the game out.
Boy, he closed.
And Steph even got going. He ended up with 23 points, and he didn't shoot the ball great at all.
Right. When Clint, you like a little boxing too, and they say that styles make fights.
Right.
In the last series, Joe Johnson, unbelievable against the Clippers, the stop and go, the foot speed, how he set guys up, and just the veteran leadership and just the veteran's presence, the crafty moves, took over the game at big times, at big moments, and showed up. What has been the style that's just got him hampered and doesn't seem like old Joe can get it going?
It's just the Warriors' versatility on defense. It's just a different beast. You're going against the Clippers. There's some people you can expose out there on defense. Jamal Crawford probably is not going to be able to guard Joe Johnson. He's just not strong enough. And there's some other people out there. With the Warriors, who do you go at defensively? There's not too many guys that will switch on to you and you can really take advantage of. I watched in game three, actually it was in game two, Steph was working hard defensively. Steph switched on to Joe Johnson, and the Warriors made sure they didn't leave him on an island, but he was bodying him up. He was moving his feet, and he got some steals in that game. He had active hands. He was really engaged on the defensive side. And then the Warriors are so great at helping each other. They don't never leave anyone compromised. We're going to help you out, especially late at the rim. Draymond's going to be there. KD's going to be there. So everybody feels free to work as hard as possible on the defensive end, knowing that if I screw up or if someone goes by me on the perimeter, my teammate's going to be there to help me out.
Clint Onzabuki in studio with Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. He's here until 8 o'clock. We've got tickets to give away to Matchbox 20 when they're at Shoreline on Friday, July 21st. We're going to do that in about, let's call it 9 minutes at 7:20. Jumping into something you mentioned regarding Draymond Green earlier, did you at any point think he wasn't headed for a technical foul during that sequence?
Yes. It's funny.
You saw the eruption.
Right. So the second foul he got, which you thought originally was his third foul, but they took one of the fouls away, which was the right call. But the second foul was not a foul. He barely nicked the ball. I think he got a little hand, but hand is part of the ball. Barely got hand, but it was all ball, and they called a foul. And Draymond said a little something, but not enough to get a tech. The ref showed great restraint, and he didn't get a tech. And I looked at Sane, and I said, if he didn't get a tech there, he's not getting a tech the rest of the postseason. And boy, was I wrong, because the next time it actually was a foul, he pulled Gobert down, and he didn't get a tech till he's on the bench. But he was saying stuff to the ref as he was walking by. I was like, man, they didn't call a tech there. Then finally on the bench, he just couldn't help himself. He just yelled out something.
I believe he said that's bullfish.
That's BS.
That's bullfish.
Yeah, right, something like that. And
it's a certain type of fish, Joe, found in the waters of Utah.
Right.
It's a bullfish, sir.
In the Great Salt Lake.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Couple horns. He was frustrated, and he got a tech. And he talked about it after the game. I lost my cool there. But he knows that teams are going to be trying to bait him and trying to get him to lose his focus and have his emotions kind of go out of control. And he let it get to him that game. So hopefully he'll be better in game four and in the rest of the playoffs.
And the great restraint, I think, showed by the official was because he knew he missed the call. And ultimately, as soon as you crack that whistle, you got to call something. And in that moment, I'm sure the referee knew that he missed it. And so you give Draymond as much leash as possible. One guy, Kalani, we haven't really talked a lot about is Klay Thompson. And, defensively, he's been great, and he'll always dog you know, the best offensive player on the other team. But offensively, not only is he not hitting, he seems like he's, I don't know if disinterested is fair, but he seems a little bit missing out there.
I feel like he rushed a few shots. I didn't think he was really disinterested. I feel like he rushed a few shots. But he definitely missed some makeable shots. A lot of the shots he's missing, we've seen him make plenty of times. And I said it earlier in the season, I've never been worried about Klay Thompson shooting the ball. I feel like he's going to get it going. The shot looks the same to me. Whenever guys start missing, me and Sane always try to break it down. Let's see if we can find something they're doing here. Let's see if their balance is off. Let's see if they're fading one direction or the other. Their momentum's taking them away from the basket, or if they're hanging a little longer than normal and not shooting the ball on the way up to where it's just about their form. They can't get their legs into it, but we can't really find anything. So it's just a matter of him continuing to shoot the ball, getting some extra shots up in practice, continuing to stay confident like we know he will. He has no conscience when it comes to shooting the ball. He's going to keep shooting it, and eventually those shots will keep going in. I like that he's not forgetting about the defensive end. He's still focusing on the defensive end, and that's what really shows me that he's not disinterested. When you're disinterested, defense is usually the thing that goes first.
Sure.
You don't lose your interest in offense. You want to keep shooting the ball. That's the glamorous thing. That's the fun part of it. But he's still working on the defensive end, and I believe that shot's going to start falling on offense.
Well, how much is it standing in that same space and same sphere? When you think about it, guys are cold. You know, sometimes they get tight and even start trying to force it, and it doesn't go, and then just continues to lead down that bad path. But how much was it the other night that KD, the reason why they win that game is because of KD? This is one of the reasons why they bring him in. And when the team is struggling, how much of a confidence booster is that to encourage these guys to keep shooting because KD can do what he can do?
That's why they went after KD so hard, because they know he can score in any situation. And at times on offense, the ball got a little stagnant at times. And obviously for the Warriors, no one else was really into a great rhythm shooting the ball. They didn't shoot a great percentage. And it's such a confidence booster when you can throw the ball into KD, when you know nothing's going on offense, and you know you can just throw the ball into KD and he can get you a bucket. Hey, we'll give it to you in the post, do your thing, make your move, shoot over the top of someone, and just score for us. We need you. And he can do it, and he did it at will last game in game 3. And it was beautiful to see. They switched on to him. It was over Gordon Hayward, who's a pretty tall defender, a big defender. It was over Joe Ingles. Shelvin Mack, I believe, got one. They switched Raul Nato onto him. He just exposed everybody. There's nothing you can do about that guy.
The Warriors had a 10-point lead after the first quarter in Game 3. It looked like it was going to be cruise control. The Jazz come back in the second, outscore them by 11. That 10-point lead turns into a 1-point deficit at the half. I went back through all the playoff games. This is the breakdown by quarter for the Warriors. First quarter, 33 points a game.
Crazy.
They're outscoring the opposition by 9 points in the first quarter on average. These are playoff teams. They're winning by 9 points in the first quarter. Third quarter, they're scoring 29.7, and they're outscoring the opposition by about 3 points. Fourth quarter, 27 points per quarter, and they're outscoring the opposition by about 5. But in the second quarter, when the backups come in, they're only scoring 25 points a quarter. They're lowest by a long shot, and they're getting outscored by 4 points per quarter. How do you solve this? And if you're Cleveland, you have to be circling that second quarter as a moment when you may strike.
I think you could leave KD in a little bit with that second team like they did some this season. That would help as far as scoring goes. Maybe leave Klay Thompson in there. I think one of the things about their second quarter, it's also probably the worst defensive quarter I think I've seen for them in the playoffs thus far. One play specifically sticks out to me, and this was with the starters in there. There was a double team that the Warriors threw at him in the corner. It was Steph and Klay in the corner, I believe on the right side. They doubled. They throw the ball out of the double team, and what happens with that is one of those defenders has to fire out to the weak side to complete that rotation in case the Jazz get the ball all the way around the perimeter to the other side. They both stay over there. No one fires out. And they swing the ball over, and the Jazz get an open three in the corner. So just plays like that, at times they're not as intense on the defensive side. There's been some defensive breakdowns as far as weak side help getting over to take away the roll, and Rudy Gobert getting easy buckets. And KD talked about it. They cleaned some of that stuff up in the third and fourth quarter, and they're much better defensively. They took away the basket. And again, the Jazz missed some open shots too, especially in that fourth quarter. They got some good looks and they couldn't knock them down, but that's just kind of when you don't have a rhythm. And the Warriors' defensive intensity was up higher, and they just never could get into a rhythm. So I think that second quarter especially, if they can work on their defense and then maybe add some reinforcements, KD, Clay, let them stay in there a little longer. But that's for the coaches to figure out. They got to figure out the allocation of the playing time, see if they can make that work. But that, I think that would definitely help, especially KD, the way he's been playing. And they should be fine there. And yeah, if you're the if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, you're looking at that second quarter, okay, like how can we take advantage of this? But the thing about that is, it's tough to just circle a quarter against the Warriors and be like, okay, let's take advantage of this, and that will let us win right. the game. Because they can come out the third quarter and just crush you. The Warriors can. They got so much firepower. In the fourth quarter, they've been closing the game as well. So that second quarter has been a little bit of an issue, but I don't think it's going to be a big enough issue to derail them. And I don't think we're going to be looking back after the postseason and be like, okay, the reason the Warriors lost the championship is because of that second quarter. I think they'll win the championship.
Let's give away some tickets. Matchbox 20 with Counting Crows at Shoreline Amphitheater on Friday, July 21st. Call in 888-957-9570. First person to answer the following question correctly: who made the shot to give Utah their first lead of the series against the Warriors? 888-957-9570. Who made the shot to give Utah their first lead of the series against the Warriors?
Late in that second quarter, and I immediately tweeted out how cute the Jazz lead by 7 seconds. Yeah. It's like when you give that little pat on the head. The second quarter, Kalena, some of the defensive rotations I know were lacking. David West was terrific in the ball game, especially offensively in that third quarter. But thinking about Cleveland and their size and their big men, you know, Tristan Thompson, the way he's playing, mm-hmm. Kevin Love looking rejuvenated on the offensive glass, how do the Warriors' big guys match up with what Cleveland could put out with a big lineup?
I think for the Warriors, it's always about what their big men give you defensively. And offensively, they can give you something that's always a bonus. But Zaza Pachulia, if he can grab some boards, that would be huge. Defensively, he can just be smart on that side and be solid. That would be big. And then just finish. Be solid on the offensive side. Pick and roll, whatever you want to do, or pick and pop. If he can be knocking down that little mid-range jumper he shoots at times, because at times the Jazz were keying on everybody else and leaving him open and forcing him to make plays. And he struggled at times, but I thought he played well in that game three. And then JaVale McGee, just come in the game. We talked about him last series. Just come in the game and change it like you know you can. And run the floor, get rebounds, finish above the rim. I really like his pick-and-roll defense. I think he's been really good on the defensive side, has JaVale McGee. Because sometimes he'll just let you beat him. Like when he's on the perimeter, he'll just let you beat him and then just recover and get the block at the rim. He's so long and he times it so well. So he's been great at that. So defensively, I love what he's doing. Offensively, roll to the basket, catch lobs, maybe get some offensive rebounds, bring that energy, infuse that energy like you can. And David West, he knocked down a couple of those big-time 17-footers. I thought that was huge. His passing has been wonderful. Defensively, he's been super active on that side. So I like the Warriors against the big men. It's just a different style that they play. The Warriors don't demand a ton from their big men on the offensive side, whereas Kevin Love, he's one of their main scorers, and he's a different kind of player, and he's a pretty good rebounder. Tristan Thompson's a dirty work guy. He's going to roll to the basket. You got to watch out for him on the offensive boards, and that's something. If Zaza is on Tristan Thompson, you just got to keep a body on him and make sure you're keeping him off the offensive boards. Even if you're not getting rebounds, make sure Tristan doesn't. And at times, you have to put two defenders on Tristan Thompson to keep him off the offensive boards and face guard him. And just body him and make sure he doesn't get there. So those are some different challenges that the Cleveland Cavaliers big men provide or bring. But I like what the Warriors have with their three big men, and it's perfect for the team because it's a guard-dominated team. Along with KD, you just need your big men to be solid.
Congratulations to Brad in San Jose. The correct answer, Rodney Hood, who made the shot to give Utah their first lead of the series against the Warriors. Rodney Hood, second quarter, Saturday night, Brad in San Jose wins. Chicago and the Doobie Brother tickets coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Luke Bryan tickets to also give away at around 8:45. And then we've got Dierks Bentley to give away in the 9 o'clock hour. Klenna Azubuike in studio with Joe Lowen Dibs on 95.7 The Game. We will take your calls if you have any questions you'd want to ask Klenna, 888-957-9570, as well as get into everything happening around the rest of the NBA. LeBron James didn't have any problem with the Raptors, but what's that mean for Toronto? Kyle Lowry coming back? They could be in for some big changes. Isaiah Thomas wants better treatment from the refs. Interesting, because Steph Curry doesn't get that treatment, and he better wait in line if he thinks he's going to be treated differently. All that's coming up next. Joe Lowen Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lowen Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you in on this Monday morning. Joe Lowen Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Klenna Azubuike in studio with us till 8 o'clock. For those just tuning in, I was in Vegas this weekend. My voice is a mess. I got the nosebleed at 6:15 that came out of nowhere. And everyone, of course, jumps to the conclusion that you would expect from a comment like that. It's the change in atmosphere.
Yeah.
My nose has been killing me here. I got to Vegas. Surprisingly, the dry air clears it up. Felt great. Came back. Immediately, I'm a mess. So that's what I get for quitting smoking. I still end up sounding like a smoker coming home from Las Vegas. I might as well continue smoking and at least get some freaking pleasure out of it. The text line weighing in with questions for Klenna. What rotations do the Warriors have specific advantages against when it comes to playing the Rockets? They appear to be even more suited for matching up with Houston over the Cavs. So if the Rockets survive to the next round, that series is currently 2-2. Mm-hmm. This is a question from the 925 asking about rotations where the Warriors would have specific advantages.
Different lineups? Shoot, I think they have a lot of advantages. There's a lot of rotations you can look at. You can look at the small ball lineup they finished the game with Andre Iguodala in there, Steph, Clay, Draymond, KD. That's a nice lineup. That lineup has an advantage over most teams, pretty much every team when they're all clicking.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And then if Andre Iguodala is knocking down his threes like he did last game, that'd be nice. So that's a great lineup. I think they can switch everything. Their versatility on the defensive side is what gives them such a huge advantage over a lot of teams, because you're trying to run your stuff on offense and you're screening and none of it's working because they're just switching everything and there's really no one you can expose. Like, oh, they switched it. Okay, let's go with this mismatch over here. No, it doesn't work like that. And if there ever is a mismatch, the Warriors help wonderfully and they double team when they need to. Sometimes unexpectedly they'll switch it up on you, sometimes they'll double team, next time they'll dig at you and get back, so you're just all discombobulated. So that's a problem. I love when JaVale McGee comes in the game. I think that'd be nice against them, the pick and roll, because again, defensively the Rockets, I'm not super concerned about them. The Warriors are a much better defensive team and they rotate better out of double teams. The weak side help is much better. So I think JaVale McGee could have an impact in that series.
Do you think, due to the fact the level of competition they're playing against, do you think they have another gear? Do you think when they go against the Spurs or San Antonio Spurs or the Rockets, and then maybe if they meet the Cavs, they keep turning it up because of the fact that you're not necessarily playing a team, you're already up 3-0, you're kind of lackadaisical, at times you have little laps. But when you know you're going to be playing better teams, better perimeter shooters, better teams to play defense, how much more can they improve in your opinion?
There's definitely another gear. They can improve a ton. First of all, the Warriors didn't shoot the ball great last game. They haven't played amazing throughout this series. Steph and Clay definitely can play way better, and they will. They can be much better defensively for the whole game or for a longer period of time. More consistently, definitely in that second quarter and in the first quarter at times, they can be better defensively. They've been amazing in the first quarter offensively, but they can play so much better. And I think it's about from quarter to quarter. Like in the third quarter, we've seen them turn it on. In the fourth quarter, they finish strong. If they play consistently well, like on defense, like they did in the second half, like KD was talking about in the first half, they win by even more. And they've done the job on the boards. That's one thing that people talked about. Oh, maybe you can expose the Warriors there on the boards, maybe get some offensive rebounds. They've done a great job on the boards. I think last game the Jazz had only 5 offensive rebounds again, or somewhere around there. The Warriors run the rebounding battle. KD was great on the boards, defensive boards. They're really focusing in there. And then the turnovers. Only 7 turnovers last game. We talked about it before the game, and we're trying to figure out a good number. We're like, okay, if they get 10 turnovers, that's really good. If they can stay around there or below that, that'd be perfect. They got 7. That's amazing. So they're really focusing on those areas, and if they can continue to do that throughout the playoffs, they'll be better. You expect them to shoot the ball better, and you expect them to be better defensively for longer stretches of the game.
As you look forward, and you can almost safely now look ahead because this series is just about wrapped up tonight. Hopefully the Warriors will get the sweep over the Jazz. Looking at their next opponent, Rockets or Spurs, based on the way the two teams are playing, and this series looks like it may go 7, which one would you rather have as the Golden State Warriors in that next matchup?
I think I'd still rather have the Rockets, even though the Rockets have a ton of firepower and they are tough to guard. If Lou Williams and Eric Gordon are scoring the basketball, and if Ryan Anderson's knocking down threes, and James Harden's a monster with that pick and roll, and pretty much everything goes through James Harden, and then Lou Williams comes in off the bench and it's kind of his world. If Nene's clicking, but against the San Antonio Spurs, you got Popovich with his system, and they play slow, and it's just a clash of styles, and that's always just harder to go against a team that plays slow and try to dictate the tempo. You got to make sure you focus on the defensive board so you can rebound and run, which the Warriors can do, and they've done a great job on the defensive boards against the Jazz, and you got a guy like KD that can get the ball off the boards, and he's 6'13" again. He can go all the way down and score, and sometimes they'll give him a high pick and roll, and he'll expose people in pick and roll in transition. It's incredible. But I still like the Houston Rockets because they do like to play fast. The Warriors are comfortable there, and the Warriors are the better defensive team. And maybe the Rockets have enough firepower to score with the Warriors, but they can't stop the Warriors. Like, right, the Warriors can stop them. Now the Spurs, you got Kawhi Leonard. If LaMarcus Aldridge is playing great, they're a problem there. I like what DeSante Murray is brought him last game, definitely. And he's solid in that, I think, was it game 3? He kind of struggled a little bit and turned the ball over early. But they're going to need some other guys to step up and score consistently. And Pau Gasol has been good on the boards, but they need more. But it's still a problem just trying to pick up the tempo. I'm big on tempo. If a team plays slow and they're pretty good at it and they execute and they're disciplined, they don't make many mistakes, that team is really going to be a drag to play for a whole series. And you're trying to dictate the tempo against them, and you're finding it tough to score. There's not as many possessions to go around against a team like the Houston Rockets that love to run. It's maybe a little easier, and that's just kind of you're more comfortable in that style of game.
Sure.
And you're a better defensive team.
What is it with this damn iPhone 7? Twice this thing, Siri has just decided to start talking.
That happens to be too sometimes.
I left my old phone in a damn Uber when I was in Vegas. I was going out to get burritos. Long story short, this town has great burritos, but they don't make the breakfast burrito the way I love it. Roberto's in Vegas does that.
Roberto's.
I'm not claiming it's the greatest burrito place on earth. It's just the way I prefer the breakfast burrito. So I get up early. I call into your show. I prank you guys on Friday. And then I head out to Roberto's. I put down like 2 of them. I bring a third one back that I'm going to have for dinner. And I have this great conversation with this Uber driver who just moved from Texas, yucking it up for 20 minutes. I leave my phone in the car. I get dropped off at the Aria. I try to sprint back into the street to block him. Not only does he not see me, he somehow almost hits me, and then he takes off. So I have to go get a new phone. So I get the new phone. This damn Siri, every time someone says something, she just starts talking. I don't even have the thing on. She just starts talking. Yeah. Like, what is this?
Wow.
Anyone have the iPhone 7?
Yeah, I do.
Does your phone? You have it?
Yeah.
Does it just start talking to you?
No, sometimes if I bump it, she will. Because it's really more you don't have to hold the button down. It's a lot easier. You're right.
Coach, I got the thing on the other side of the room.
I saw
like,
it.
I'm not anywhere near
it. I saw it.
I just picked it up and threw it across the room.
Yeah, it's not Brand supposed to do that.
No.
It's dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Phone.
I don't.
If I've told you people once, I've told you 1,000 times. You got to get off the teat of the Apple products and go to Asia. Samsung. This thing never says a word to me.
Yeah,
it minds its peace. Mind your plays, phone.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. It like twice just chimed in. It's picking up your voice, Dibs, and then it just starts giving me an assessment on something. I don't need your hot takes, Siri. I got plenty of people in here with hot takes today.
I hate losing phones, though. It's the worst. It's
first time that's ever happened to me.
It is.
I left it in the car. You get out, you do the old pat of both butt cheeks and then the front thighs.
I know. That's a
like, it's over. it's all over. Can't get this guy back here. Going to have to pay him for his time and all that nonsense.
Siri was just trying to get some airtime. She just wanted to be on the show.
Yeah.
She probably sounds better than me anyway. Let's put it to the vote. 95795. Would you rather hear from Siri or me the rest of the program? 95795. Clint Azabuki in studio. Joe Lowe and Dibs 95.7 the game.
Clint, when you're playing against a team like the Warriors, when you do have such prolific shooters, and Steph arguably the greatest three-point shooter that ever played the game, and is it best to have a big come out or a guy come out and just give him the right of way, right of passage to the hoop, and take away the three for you can get him in there with the trees where the big guys and make him get rid of the ball, make the tough shot instead of letting him have that perimeter? Is that how teams, is that one of the way that you take a side, funnel him in to where the bigger guys are for make it difficult shot? Or do you sit back and you try to say, no, we're going to let him go in and try to take that three?
Well, it's kind of like pick your poison against him because he can still finish at the rim, too.
Yeah.
You're saying give him the basket and let him get to the basket and hope you can block him late or help late at the basket?
I was saying that because, I saw a play yesterday where we saw that it was when you watched the Houston Rockets, you saw Aldridge, he was trying to play Harden. He's playing him at the top, but he's playing him off a little soft. Mm-hmm. And then to step back, hit the three.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, okay, boom, I'm going to let you have an angle because Saul's in there,
right,
the bigger guy, and it's going to make you get rid of the ball or alter your shot at some situations.
It's a problem with him because he's such a great passer too. So if you let him get to the basket or if you get up on him and he uses quickness and his ball handling, he yanks you with a double crossover or something like that, like he can do, like he likes to do, and he gets by you, he's such a great decision maker. And he sees the floor. He's not one-dimensional as far as when he goes to the basket. He's not single-minded. If a defender comes over there, he's just going to react and be like, okay, I'll dish it to Zaza or JaVale, or I'll throw the lob. I'll just react to the defense. And then we've talked about his ability to finish at the basket. Him and Kyrie Irving have this incredible knack for spinning it off the glass from any angle. And I think it's something they work on, but it's something natural too, because the instincts they have, just the ability to finish off the glass and just spin it wherever they are, is incredible. And Steph has that. So if you get up on him and he's able to blow by you, we've seen him get to the basket and finish pretty easily. He makes it look easy. It's a tough finish, but for him, it's not. And then if you send a help defender, he can dish to your man and get an easy layup. If you V back on that guy that the help came from, then you throw it out to the perimeter and there's an open three, and there's Klay Thompson out there who we talked about. We think he'll start making shots. There's KD out there. So their personnel is such that it's basically pick your poison. If you're going to let him get to the basket, they'll make you pay there. If you double-team Steph off the pick and roll, he'll kick it to Draymond Green, let him go 4-on-3. It's a problem.
It's unanimous. They'd rather have Siri hosting the show than me. From the 415, I'd rather have Siri because Joe sounds like Big Ange from Mod Wives. That's brutal. I've seen that. That's a brutal one.
I've actually
there.
Got the comp for your voice. Maybe we can play that next for him. Kalani, you might know this. A former NBA legend. The real comp for Joy's next.
All
for
right.
Joe's voice.
We're going to do that.
Dikembe?
We're also going to get into the update as it pertains to Steve Kerr and what the future holds for the Warriors head coach. Joe Lowe and Dibs with Kalani Azabuki in studio, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you in. 1 hour from now, we have tickets to give away to see Luke Bryan with Brett Eldridge and Granger Smith. The winner is going to get to pick their choice of shows. These aren't even available for sale yet. We've also got Chicago and the Doobie Brothers tickets to give away in the next hour. But for right now, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game, with Kalena Azabuki in studio. Brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink, a great tasting, potassium-packed sports drink with natural flavors, natural colors, and 10% coconut water, Dibs. Klay Thompson recommends heading to Safeway and making the switch to Body Armor Sports Drink.
As long as you drink it with your antas on, I think Klay would be totally happy while throwing the tennis ball for your little bulldog, whatever he may be named.
Steve Kerr had another procedure on his back this past weekend. He did it at Duke University in North Carolina. It was to hopefully solve the issue of the leaky spinal fluid. If you're on this Warrior team right now, do you think there's been a discussion amongst the team and maybe the rest of the staff that, look, we should be preparing to make it through the rest of the playoffs without Steve Kerr on the sideline?
Definitely. And Draymond talked about that, just preparing and being ready for the possible reality that Steve Kerr isn't able to return. And we talked about Mike Brown. He's an extremely capable coach. He's been a head coach. He's not rattled by situations. He can go into a hostile environment and still think clearly and make good decisions like we've seen him make. And the team has played well under Mike Brown as well. And we talked about that first series, how it was probably as impressive of a sweep as I've ever seen, just because there was some adversity that the Warriors had to go through. You lose your head coach. You only get KD for two games. And they were still able to win. Matt Barnes wasn't healthy all the way. Sean Livingston missed some games. And they still got through it. And that series, if they dropped a game, you'd be like, oh, that's understandable. They're going through some things. But they still kept confident, stayed mentally strong, and got wins and swept them. And they still haven't lost. Still undefeated in the playoffs thus far. And they're playing extremely well. So you definitely have to be ready for that reality, that possible reality that he won't be able to come back. And at the same time, you pray for Steve Kerr. They love him. They'd love to have him back. It's still different. It's not the same without your head coach. And you just go from there.
The same thing can be said about the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are now 8-0 in the postseason. They're going to get about a week off before they get Washington or Boston. LeBron and the Cavs just railroaded the Toronto Raptors in that series. If you're Toronto, this has happened a few years in a row now. Like, what's the next step? What you've currently got is not good enough to compete in the Eastern Conference, at least not at a high level with the Cavs. So do you think they're going to blow this roster up a little bit? And let's start with Kyle Lowry.
I'm not really as optimistic about the future of the Toronto Raptors because Kyle Lowry is going to want Max. I like him, and that's a great backcourt with him and DeMar DeRozan. Serge Ibaka will probably want Max. And if you pay all those guys, are you going to have room enough to get something else, to get another impact player that's going to really help your team? So if you're stuck with those guys for the long haul and that's your team going into the future and you know you're not even close to being able to beat the Cavaliers, what's the upside? What's there to be excited about if you're a Toronto Raptors fan? What's the next move? Do you just blow it up then and not sign Kyle Lowry, who's one of the best point guards in the league? Do you let Serge Ibaka go, who's an impact player, pretty good defensively still? He's got a lot to offer. It's tough decisions to make for
that. You make some interesting points because of the fact you brought in Serge to compete with this team.
Right.
And you thought last year, you took him to six games.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, okay, Serge is going to put us over the top. He's going to match up with Tristan. He's going to get us the boards. Yeah. And kind of that neutralizer, boom, waves in your face. It didn't happen. So
exactly.
It's back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas and the Celtics had a 2-0 lead on the Wizards. The Wizards, after yesterday, have now evened that series up. Game 5 back in Boston. I believe it's tomorrow night. Isaiah Thomas afterwards was speaking about how he only scored 2 points, I believe it was, in the second half, and he didn't get to the free throw line at all for the game. And he feels that there's a lot of holding and grabbing going on and that the refs aren't treating him fairly. Steph Curry on line one.
Exactly.
Steph Curry on line one, Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Welcome to the party.
Exactly. I totally agree. Steph Curry doesn't get the respect that he deserves. So why should you expect anything different from Isaiah Thomas? And by the way, that wasn't the reason they lost the game. The Wizards went on crazy runs. I think 26-2 or something like that. Some crazy runs in that game. And John Wall is
beast.
A monster right now. Probably the second or third best player in the East right now in the playoffs. Probably the second. He's incredible. Getting to the basket, knocking down jumpers, assists. He makes them go. And at Bradley Beal's knocking down shots, they are a problem. They get up and down. They know how to play now. They feel comfortable with the way they play now. But John Wall is controlling it for them. I think Boston's going to have a tough time getting through them. And potentially, I like the Wizards more than I like Boston to take a game off Cleveland the next series. So I'd love to see I'd love to see the Wizards get through and beat Boston and compete against Cleveland. I think they can give them a better series, at least a tougher series. They at least take a game off of Cleveland. They're not going to sweep the Wizards if they play like they did last game.
I mean, what does it say about the state of the NBA that we're hoping that a team can just get a game off of Cleveland and get a game off of Golden State? And I like your John Wall love, and it hit me. Man, he went to Kentucky.
He's a Kentucky guy.
He's a Kentucky
but
guy.
But I didn't say that. I didn't mention that. I just went off of how he's playing right
now.
No,
it's a fact. He's absolutely on fire, but it always comes back to the old bluegrass, doesn't
true.
It, Colin?
Yeah, I got to give my guys some love.
This round of the playoffs.
He's killing.
This round of the playoffs sucks. Is it like wrong to say that?
Sucks. The whole thing sucks, coach.
14 of 15 games, 14 of 15 second round games have been determined by double digits.
That's true.
Like this, everyone's just waiting for the Cavs and the Warriors. Like that's a big problem for the NBA because you're going to rate when you get the trilogy, but then you expect me to believe the officiating is going to be on board if San Antonio, Houston, Boston, or Washington finds a way to make it compelling, shall we say, in the conference finals. You don't think if it's three games apiece heading to game seven in the Western Conference Finals, the Warriors aren't getting the calls? Anyone? Like, yeah. We all saw what happened in that Kings-Lakers series back in the day. There is no way the NBA, after what happened this season, is going to allow that cash cow to not happen. It is a collision course, Cleveland and Golden State. There's no way anyone else can get in. I really don't see it happening.
I was thinking about you over the weekend as Cleveland was getting the sweep and the Warriors were getting a step closer. Your whole theory about the refs would make calls or whatever, but it's not even to come close to needing to happen. You can't picture Houston or San Antonio even really forcing a game seven, yeah, let alone competing in that series.
Like, Tony Parker goes down and Houston immediately loses the next game. Nene gets hurt and the San Antonio Spurs can't win the game. Boston goes up 2-0 and looks like after winning six straight, they've got it together, and then here come the Wizards. Those are nice series against each other, but that's where it ends because the next round will be two more motorboatings, and then we'll have a finals where we'll see what ends up happening. But that's the thing. The NBA's got to figure something out, but what are you going to do? You're not going to compel LeBron James to play more games during the regular season when he looks this good in the playoffs.
That's why, Glenn, isn't it weird that you have two teams, they're head and shoulders above the rest of the league.
That's the story of the league right now.
It is.
It's a crazy course.
How do the league fix this? Is Paul George going to have to say, you know what, I'm going to go join Cleveland, I'm going to go join the Rockets? Because there has to be another superstar join one of these teams, the Rockets, San Antonio, if we're going to make this thing even,
It'll fix itself in about 5 years when the next TV deal is worth a fraction of what this one's worth. The salary cap will come crashing back down. You won't have the resources to pay multiple big name superstars to all be on the same team. So it's going to be back to the drawing board. Figure it out through the draft. Figure it out in free agency with modest priced acquisitions and build a team. Because right now, salary cap allows you to put together some all-star teams. And that's great. Teams are taking advantage of it.
Right.
But once the TV deal in 5 years, I think it is, craps out and no one's around to pay $1 billion a year, because why would you when you get guys resting on Saturday nights in primetime games? That's going to force the salary cap down, and then you're not going to be able to sign all these big-name players.
I agree with that. And one good thing about the cap for the home team right now, that's really not going to help the situation you're talking about, but that fifth year now is going to be worth about, like, what, $40 million or something like that. So it's going to be tough for superstars to pass up that fifth year and leave their home team or the team that they've been with and go get a four-year deal somewhere else. I'm not passing up that fifth year if I was in that situation. But again, that's not going to solve your situation right now. But I do agree with you. At some point, it's going to come down a little bit. It's kind of like the housing market. It just keeps going up and up. It's going to come back down. And at that point, yeah, you'll be able to make some moves, and it won't be as it's two teams right now, and that's pretty much who everybody knows is going to be in the final. I don't think it's going to be like that forever.
How do you know, kind of a side note, still do with basketball, but why do you always hear the perception LeBron takes too many games off when this guy's still racking more minutes than darn near anybody in the NBA? Is this perception or is this worth reality? I mean, think about everyone's talking about, oh, LeBron, he's taking games off or he missed a game. I mean, how much pressure? This guy is 32, still playing, averaging 38 more minutes than anyone. There are people like, oh, well, he's not playing.
Right. Well, that's minutes per game versus overall minutes. That's where the discrepancy is, because he takes games off,
right?
But minutes per game is near the top. So he's not actually playing as many minutes, but when he does play, he plays more than just about everybody.
Yeah, and the league doesn't like it when he sits out, like, the national TV games and ESPN and TNT and all these – and all these stations paid all this money to see the guys play. And when their stars sit out, fans aren't happy, the viewers are unhappy, and it's kind of a problem. But I totally don't blame him, because the way he looks right now, and he's getting ready for the postseason. And if he's going to sacrifice a few games to look as great as he does right now and win championships, because all in all, at the end of his career, people are going to look at how many championships he won. They're not going to really talk about how many national TV games he missed, and that's what he's thinking.
Prediction. We're down to the final minute here. It's always an easy hour with you. Prediction tonight, the Warriors are 8-point favorites. Your over-under is 206. It's game four. Mm-hmm. Golden State at Utah, 6 p.m. right here, 95.7 the game.
Say the Warriors win by 7. Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Kalen Azabuki.
Kalen Azabuki, right in the number.
I hear the rumors we get you back tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah,
beautiful stuff.
Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow.
That was a reluctant yes.
Hercules.
Pro tip for you: don't go to Vegas tonight. You'll sound like this tomorrow. All right, Kalen Azabuki, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7. The game. We are back in a minute with your call on the Warriors. Who would you rather face in the next round, the Spurs or the Rockets? 888-957-9570. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7. The game.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.